The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right. We're back. Yeah, I think Charles was talking about the Sabbatine Frankist movement in the 1700s, which coincidentally is the same time frame the Illuminati was rumored to form in the 1700, whatever. Yep. So, you know, and I just want to point out, like, this even probably goes farther back. I mean, these are they're probably descended from the Canaanites, the ancient Babylonians, all this whole money magic, dark black magic stuff. That's where this stuff probably originates from. I just wanted to point that out, that somehow along the way, they keep inverting the truth.
Right. So exactly. And the guys who are running things today, I believe, are what I would call anti-Jews. They are Jewish, but they're not Jewish. I mean, they're basically taking the Torah. They're taking the Torah and the teachings of all of Christianity and inverting them. That's why they hate Christians.
Right.
Because it really is, but to say they're Jews is doing a disservice to a lot of Jews. And the problem is, in calling them Jews, it creates a certain degree of distrust among Jews about anti-Semitism. And everybody thinks there's, Jews are running everything, and they're not really Jews. They're the problem is, you can have a brilliant mind, and Jews produce an awful lot of brilliant people. That's just a fact. And but if it's not built on a foundation of moral positivity, then you're going to have an arch something that's not good. And I just think that that's what they are. They're going to be more intense in something, because Jews tend to be good at whatever it is. So when you're talking, like the thing out of the Talmud said, a Jew is like anybody else, only more so. So you get the really good and the really bad.
They also have the financial backing and the support of their whole community. They operate as a tribe.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, yes. Very cohesively.
Yes, so. and the bankers back the anti-Jews, because it gives them a great cover, because it allows them to throw the shade on someone else. Because look at Russia, Lenin was a Jew, right? Yeah, he was the brilliant guy, but he was founded there. He was paid for by bankers' money. They sent in the gold money, right? A train full of gold to start it, and then he ended up being eliminated by Stalin. So they get
you. Well, I think Lenin was the only one that wasn't. I think he was just married to one, if I remember right, but I could be wrong.
Stalin was married to a Jew.
Right.
Stalin was. Lenin was, as was Trotsky. You saw what happened to Trotsky too.
Yep. Trotsky definitely was.
I think just like Americans and Canadians and Brits, the Jews get used, and they do. And the bankers are, to me, they're the masters of the Wizard of Oz. They create this grand illusion, right? And they use people depending on what their resources are, and they just use them as it said in the Balfour Declaration. We look to create a Ulster in the Middle East. And you know how they had problems in Ulster, in Northern Ireland, between the Catholics and the Protestants for a long time. Because it's useful. Because with endless strife, you get activity. So they put a lot of money in there. I don't know if you know about the ringworm children. Have you ever heard that story?
No, I don't think so. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. Well, what happened was Israel was formed in, 1948, I think, right? And,
yeah, 47, 48.
Yeah. It was a fledgling state, and they were surrounded by hostile tribes, understandably, and they had a real cash crunch, and they came to a point where they were going to collapse financially within the first, I think it was in the early 50s or late, I'm not exactly sure on the date, but it's the ringworm children. They actually showed this documentary on Israeli television. And the banker stepped in and said, we will finance your debt, but you have to do something for us, meaning this is the Israeli government. And we want you to irradiate 7,000 Jewish children from Morocco and from North Africa because they're the wrong colored Jews. And they basically forced the Israeli government to stop it from collapsing, to kill their own Jewish children from a Sephardic tribe because it didn't work. So they got co-opted, right? Either the whole thing collapsed. Yeah. So if, wow. They worked everybody, all right? And, you know, I understand. I was in Israel once. I wanted to go and see it. And it's full of a lot of angry people. It's an amazing place, but it's full of a lot of angry people. And I understand because it's the fulcrum of so much energy that's going in there. And I remember running to, just walking down the street in Jerusalem. It was one of the outlying towns. And there was a couple of young Israeli guys there who were carrying their guns. You know, they were soldiers. And they were just, oh, yeah, tell me about the Americans. Where are the Americans? You know, they've got great military equipment. They really love you guys. And, you know, I understand you guys are pouring a lot of cash in there. But I'm saying it's because the bankers are demanding it. And, you know, the Israelis know there's a lot of cash going in there. And I guess, you know, that's just one anecdotal evidence, one piece of evidence. I'm just telling you because it happened to me. And as I said, I'm a Canadian. I'm a WASP. I'm not part of any of this. I'm just kind of like, well, what is it about these guys that makes them so different, right? And I was always able to come back to that one piece of evidence that's written in their book, right? And it's always been my experience. I've had a lot of experience with good Jewish people, right? Very few experiences with bad Jewish people. So I do have a positive bias. I don't, you call me a pro-Semite, but it's right. Basically...
Well, I think your experience, there are a lot of good, decent people. And when they're out there in the real world, they're okay. But we're not going to be exposed to the other sect, the other tribe. Because I've often wondered this. Why don't you ever see them in the construction trades or, you know, like, you know, electrician or whatever? You know, it's very few and far between that you'll see them in the average blue collar jobs.
There's a reason
and
for that.
Whether, you know, that might have been back in the day they were, you know, switched over to merchants and this and that, and, you know, when they were supposedly persecuted. But you got to wonder, like, you know, we need more of them to come out and explain their positions. Because I think you're right. I think a lot of them don't have a clue what these higher up, you know, the imposters are doing.
Well, I believe, you know, I mentioned about their culture is kind of turbocharged. That's how I see it. And from a very young age, Jewish children are encouraged to be the best they can be, to get as much education as you can be. You know, there's a Jewish joke about a matchmaker. A man's going to meet this woman, and they're sort of talking about, you know, can they get along and will they have a relationship? And she says, well, I've got two sons. One's a lawyer and one's a doctor. And he looks at her and goes, that's kind of hard to believe since you're only about 33 years old. He says, no, this one's 4 and this one's 7. See? So they're putting in their minds at a young age. I went to school with enough of these guys, okay? These guys knew they were going to be doctors when they walked in for first year courses. They knew they were going to be this, they were going to be that. There was a show called 7 Up. I don't know if you ever saw it. 7 Up, 14 Up, 28 Up. And it was a British documentary shot about over a period of 28 years. Every 7 years, they would interview these children. Kids are at age 7, age 14, age 21, 28, 35, and I don't know if they went beyond 35. But the kids who knew what they were going to do when they were 7 years old generally became what they were. And I say that's part of the Jewish culture. So guys are encouraged to get professional degrees. They are encouraged to get as much education as they can. And they're, you know, and it's pushed by their society. It's pushed by everybody. And there's a lot of pressure to succeed. And when you put pressure on it, you get a lot of diamonds. But you get a lot of rejects, too. But my point is, that's where it comes from. And it's right out of that documentary, which wasn't about Jewish people. It was about Brits. Okay? So it's their culture. So that's how I see it, right? So
that's an interesting take.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I do agree in a lot of ways. You know, it's damaging to our side of things when people come out and, you know, are real aggressive in their tactics. You know, I could speak of some internet personalities, but I won't name names here. But they come out and just sound, you know, radical to anybody that's listening for the first time. And I don't think that does our cause any good. So you've got to kind of approach it moderately. And I would personally like to see more Jewish people investigating this stuff and coming out and talking about it too, because they're going to be the ones that people most believe when they kind of say, hey, you know, there is a certain sect in our religion that does exactly the opposite of what we would like to be done, you know?
Well, so, they're not even really technically Jews. I mean, the guys who were the original followers of the Jewish Messiah, they all converted to Islam. So they weren't Jews anymore. This is 300 years ago. So they may be biologically Jews, you know, if you go back far enough, like even Mike Rivero says he's a converso. That's what he comes from, but he's not Jewish. And these guys are the same way. And I believe that's what it is. So they are part of it, but they're not part of it. And, you know, the Jewish thing is about looking out for your own guys. You know, so they're not looking to throw shade on anything. And there's a lot of fear and anger because there is a lot of anti-Semitism out there. People get are kind of mystified by why these people are the way they are, and I think that's what it is that it's a centuries long commitment to excellence, and if it isn't bound up with a moral underpinning, then you get excellence towards the dark arts. That's all it is.
Right.
Anyway,
that's interesting.
There's a little bit of perspective for it.
No, I like it, man. I really appreciate you calling in, Sharon, and that was a good conversation. Good. And I do see what you're saying on that. So I just encourage people like I said, you know, approach it cautiously. When you're trying to bring people into this, you can't come off as too extreme or else they'll just shut you down. And I've had it happen to me many times, you know. If you're not politically correct, they kind of get triggered sometimes. And
Even though
I don't like being politically correct.
Well, I do it myself. I'm pretty, I can be pretty over the top myself. So I've learned to be a little bit more circumspect. But, you know, you said you were looking for different perspectives, and I haven't heard this one before, like the one that I've got. So I thought I would share it with you tonight.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you calling in. You have a great day. Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Cool. All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, if we have any other callers, call on in. Give you that number again in 1 second. I'm sure we got another break coming up here in a minute. But that number is 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. And, yeah, I'm glad he called in with that. I do agree that, you know, the Sabbatine Frankis movement definitely seemed to bring them into the mainstream of where they are at now. And, you know, it's a tough nut to crack. I do agree that they do seem to groom their kids. They work together. You know, Henry Ford was writing about the International Jew and how they kind of formed this, you know, partnership that spanned the world. And they were able to pull and do their resources and use them and, you know, obviously pulled off the old Bolshevik Revolution in Russia because of the financial backing from the West, because of their, you know, calls to foment a revolution. They like to be involved in that. And so many people answered that call. That's where you got the Trotskyites and, you know, the Leninites falling in there. And, you know, what they did to Russia was pretty atrocious. The Tsar wasn't that great either, but, you know, still, I bring this up because we got to be careful what we bring into history. We don't want to repeat certain things, and we don't want to be part of a revolution we don't want. All right, we got JR in Georgia. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing today? Yes, sir. You're on. Okay? How you doing? Yes, sir.
Good. After the previous call, I would just say this, because I have other points I'd wish to make. The foundation of the Nation of Israel is true in 1948 by the UN authority. They established the geographical boundaries of the country of Israel. But that is not the Nation of Israel that God talks about in the Bible. And this is where there is much argument and discussions within the Protestant view of Jews. The Jews are the ones who elected, what's his name, Barabbas, the killer, the murderer, to save over Jesus Christ. The Jews are the ones.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir.
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to remember that guy's name.
Barabbas, I believe, was his name. The Jews are not necessarily God's people. But God's people come from all regions and speak different languages. Read in Revelations. It's not the physical boundaries of the Israelites. That's what upsets me about the Protestant belief. That a Jew is a chosen people of God. They are not. They're just as mischievous and evil as the Gentile is.
Right. Right.
God's people are the ones.
If they were the Pharisees, which a lot of evidence suggests that they were the Pharisees back in the day, I mean, the Bible clearly calls them out and talks about them. So,
yes,
I agree.
Yes, sir, he does. Yes, sir, he does. And in regards to Jesus going into the temple and overturning the tables of the money changers, which is oftentimes mistaken, it was something like a flea market going on in the temple. Well, that wasn't the case. The Jews were already money changers back then, changing coins for currency. I don't know if many people know that or not. It was a currency exchange system that was going on even back then. And it has proliferated itself until this day. This world has been controlled by money changers. Just look what happened throughout the course of history, up until the date of the Weimar Republic. It's been nothing but money changers. And who has been in charge of the money changing? A majority of it has been by Jews.
Right.
The Rothschilds, who originally came from Germany. The money changers have controlled this world.
Right.
As much as we would love and respect everything we have in this country that we live in to this day, it's been the money changers that has controlled society.
Oh, I agree. Hey, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to have Paul from New Jersey on next, I believe. So, hey, thanks for the call in. JR, appreciate it. Agree with you. 100%.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Listen, when we talk about the Jewish issue, we should remember that Jews had a head start. I mean, that's really why they dominate Western civilization. And this goes back to Catholic days when Catholicism mostly dominated Europe. And that was, they would farm out the banking to the Jews because Christianity thought it was vulgar and wrong for Christians to handle money or loan money, right?
Well, that
and of course, this is, again, a fixation of the Christians on the New Testament, Well, the Jews are fixated on the Old Testament. And by the way, and that's why when some of these guys are always talking Talmud, it's the Talmud, it's the Talmud. No, it's not. It's not the Talmud. It's the old, there's plenty enough in the Old Testament where you can see that this is where it gave Jews the financial edge. Now, in the Old Testament, I don't know the exact location. I'm not going to go through that. But it does say, you know, when you're loaning to your fellow countrymen, your kin, you're not to charge interest, but to the foreigner you can charge interest. Okay? And it's, and if you can have, and if you have a slave, if you enslave a fellow Jew or an ancient Israelite, that is only for 6-7 years, and then you must set them free. And while for a Gentile, you can keep them for the whole of your life. You see, and these lessons are over and over again in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, guess what it teaches, fellas? It teaches that genocide is good. It does. It says, oh, just taking this land from this other people and either slaughtering them all or taking it all, like Moses and Joshua did, that's fine too, because that land is theirs. They're Jews. So you see, that sets a whole, like, momentum of just entitlement, of established entitlement. They're the chosen people, you see? And so that's why, right. First of all, don't go blaming it on the Talmud, but again, that but that upsets the Christians. And what do Christians do? They always have a habit. They got to come to the defense of the Jews. They got to come to help them out. And then they wonder why Jews dominate everything.
Right. I've seen that time and again.
You see, and this is why Jews don't hate the Christian. They love the Christian. What Jews hate more is the Nazis. And the reason is, because Nazism emulates Judaism and mimics Judaism, except it uses the similar principles and behaviors of Judaism, but takes it over and uses it for Gentiles. And so really, it does, because basically what Hitler was doing was similar to what Moses was doing, but Hitler was way nicer. Right? Because Hitler didn't really, or at least overtly, give the order to kill the women and the children. Moses did. Right? In the book of Numbers, chapter 31. Okay? So we have to get this established. And so if we're the reason why we, the only solution to all of this is modern Gentiles have to form political movements that are far right wing, and we have to exclude Jews. And we have to behave more endogamously, in other words, sticking with our people or marrying within our people, and tribally, right? Or ethnocentrically. We have to put our people first, Jews are second, and start treating each other as first-class citizens, treat Jews as second-class citizens, right? The same behavior that Jews do towards us. Right? Because part of the reason, I mean, let's be honest, fellas. Okay, some of the reason they're ahead and dominant over us is, as I said earlier, was because they've had a head start in banking, so they got the money first. But also, they're very nepotistic, and they hire each other, even though they're less talented, right? Because a lot of them are not talented. A lot of Jews in the limelight and in public, they're a bunch of morons. Look at Budweiser, the woman who hired Dylan Mulvaney. She was a Jewess. You think she got there because she's brilliant? No, it's because Christians who run Budweiser make the assumption, oh, well, she's a Jew. She's brilliant. We got to hire her. And I'll hold the people so kind.
Right. That's good points, man. I like it. All right, Paul, I'm going to get to Patrick next. Thanks for the call in.
All right.
Appreciate it, buddy. It's good points. Thank you.
Day by day, night after night.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Again, I think we got Patrick from Texas, correct?
Yes, Patrick? Can you hear me? Hello.
Hey, Patrick, you surviving the heat down there?
Can you hear me, Travis?
Yes, sir, you're on air.
Okay. I got to take exception with Paul in New Jersey. They're practicing the Babylonian Talmud. There's no doubt about it. In reality, it's very, very harsh, but they could take they call it non-Jews, whatever, and then how they could actually, molest young children and their rituals with the rabbis and the little children. And Ripley's, believe it or not, it said that, the Jews are not Hebrew, and that's well known. And there's actually Hebrew to them is a slang. It's a Slavic form they call Yiddish, and in true Hebrew is you know, it's like, it's actually almost it's completely English. It's, and a lot of the words, you know, convert right over into English. It's like, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob changed his name to Israel, but all the Israelites call themselves sons of Isaac, and that's where we got Isaac's son, Seth's son, and all the tribe of Dan, Asher, all of the tribes, they went right into Europe. We can trace them right back now, and through the paths of Israel, and they became the Goths. The Gauls, the Ostrogoths, the Vestrogoths, and the Scipians. And that became the Scipians, the Germans called them. I mean, the Romans called the Scipians Germans because they were true Scipians whenever they were being forced out. So we were actually forced out of the Middle East, white flighted out of there, and we became the Nordics. And that's where we all know it. Yeah, the English are well aware of that. You know, Mary and Jesus' mother went into Glastonbury, England, they're all well aware of that. And the Scottish people, they know their heritage. And Ibernia, Spain, that's Gaelic for Hebrew, and the Ibernia, and they became the Ireland, there's no doubt about that. The ten tribes, they went into captivity in 770 into Assyria, and we can track them out of there now. How they eventually became the Scipians, and then the remainder of the Israelites. They went into captivity into Babylon, and they took 5/5 of the lower tribes, and that left us a small amount. They're called a remnant in Israel, that was insignificant. You know, 500,000 or 50,000 came back. 50,000 came back into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. It is well known that all of these interlopers, they're known as the Canaanites. They know it, and they created Judaism 300 years after, 300 AD is when they right. created Judaism. So, right. you know, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Comment?
No, I agree with the fact that it was created later, and you know they didn't even have the word the J invented back when they wrote the Bible, you know. So, you know, complicated history, and I appreciate you calling in and pointing that out, because I do agree. It does seem like the Talmud is the warped version of the Torah. So I do agree that you know you can't dispute what they have written in that thing. It's pretty gnarly. So
yeah, the Pharisees were the secret societies, and as like Cicero said, you can fight the enemies at the gate. You can fight fools. Survive fools, but you cannot beat enemies within and tyrants. And that's what they are. They know that. That's where the power of these secret societies. And they get in there and they interlock with each other and they work their way up into all these positions, and where you know all of the half of the judges in England were Masons, and the Masonic order was heavily influenced in Virginia early colony days. Aaron Burr, you know, the Vice President of Jefferson, who tried to overthrow the government. Yeah, he was a Mason. The judge was a Mason. The prosecutor was a Mason. They had a big old celebration and let him go, even though he was trying to overthrow the government. But that's the way Masons right. work. Now, a secret society. And, you know, right. until you get serious, you know, with these people, it's like Germany did and like Italy did, and just clean them all out, they're not going to be able to beat that because they can work in secret. And I'll let you go.
Right.
Thank you much.
No. Those are great points. Thank you, Patrick. I really appreciate you calling in because that is a good point as how these secret societies, this secret knowledge is helped them throughout the centuries in controlling this stuff. So I really appreciate that call, Patrick. I think we got Joe in Florida next. Got time for that?
Hey, Travis. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Hey, Joe. I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I don't want to get into a theology class, which I think we've already maybe had overdone a little bit. But I will just say one thing. You're exactly right about what the problem is. The problem is Talmudic Judaism, right? Paul from New Jersey and maybe other people who might, I don't know, do they identify as National Socialists from Germany, whatever. The truth is the Old Testament, the Torah, right, is something that Christians accept. And there's nothing evil or wrong with the Old Testament. There's a saying, right, that Jews have, which is everything the Torah prohibits, the Talmud allows, right? So the real enemy is what we call Talmudic Judaism, which is the only kind of Judaism there's ever been. It's a very perverted, sick, and depraved anti-Christian religion, with the Judaism, founded on this vile, disgusting, blasphemous hate screed against Christ, his Blessed Mother, and the Church. But anyway, just putting that aside, because I know there's differences of opinion and theology can get a little complicated, but that's what I understand to be. I want to thank you for mentioning Ukraine-Russia. Now, that's talking about bringing it right home. Did you hear, there's some people saying, I heard reports that today, July 5th, would be a day when Zelensky, the Jewish war criminal, and his thugs and the propagandists in NATO and the U.S. are going to pull this operation of attacking Zaporizhia nuclear plant.
Yes, I did see some chatter about that. And, you know, I always try to remind my listeners, you know, don't freak out. Don't, you know, like they throw so much stuff at us. It's hard to tell what's real and what's not. And we, you know, there's no way to tell until it happens sometimes. And so I try to remind my listeners, don't get into a fear state of panic. And yeah, it's very curious what's going on there. We know who Zelensky is. We know who's supporting him. You know, at the same time, the U.S. is supporting these so-called neo-Nazis, which I find pretty ironic. I don't know. I just want out of this thing. I don't want our money going there. I'm sick of these bankers' wars. I think most people are sick of it. They see the scams, and you know they probably see Zelensky for what he is—just some you know lame duck loser from one of these secret societies that's put in the position of power. And let's not forget that the U.S. helped stage that whole coup, the Maidan Square coup in 2014, you know, under Obama and Vicky Newland or Victoria Newland, you know, like these actors have been at this for a long time. And,
exactly.
I don't know what to think. I sometimes wonder if Putin's an actor. I sometimes wonder if this whole thing is scripted. In a way, it seems like it is because, like, you know, what was that whole coup attempt about? Like, you wonder if it was just another distraction.
Well, I would say just parenthetically, you're right about that fear mode. You don't want to get into that. Dr. E. Michael Jones says, the way he puts it is, the plan of God always wins out over the intentions of the wicked. Now, that's important to remember if you're a Christian, right? We have our faith in the Lord. And in the end, God wins, right? Even when wicked and evil, despotic people, Jews and other people, seem to be succeeding and getting away with it, in the end, they will be foiled. That's what happens. I'm already beginning to see, actually, a lot of these Jewish narratives that we keep getting fed are collapsing already. But, yeah, I totally agree with you about it's more than $200 billion of our tax money. The outrage going to this, these people are going to fail anyway. The reason I mentioned Zaporizhia and the idea of bombing a nuclear plant is I think that it's important to mention it before how preposterous it is. What they did with the Nord Stream 2 and what they've done in Mariupol, and they presented all these completely obvious false flags. Why on earth would the Russians bomb their own pipeline, the Nord Stream? It's ridiculous. And somehow they don't want to talk about that anymore. Well, this is what they're going to do. It's, I believe, is Zaporizhia. It may be happening any day now. But the good news is there's enough people like you and others. We're already on top of the fact that this is a false flag just waiting to happen. Because, you know, it took a long time after 9/11, right, for people to really start waking up and to start noticing things, if you know what I mean. But this is the curve now is very short, so that if they do try to pull off this attempt to make it look like Russia, which, by the way, controls the nuclear plant, it's under their control, and and also any destruction there at a nuclear plant there on the border there would be the most damaging impact would be to Russia. But people know this, people like you and others and people on this station know this. And I'm thinking that this could be the collapse, because the mainstream media is going to push this preposterous narrative. I think it's going to happen. They're going to, this nuclear attack is going to happen. But people on this station and other people are going to say, wait a minute, it's ridiculous on its face. Why are you pushing this narrative? And there may be a quick pushback is what I'm hoping for, because we are in a very dangerous time. I do believe in prayer, and I think we should all be praying for peace at this time. But I also think that their narratives are collapsing almost as quickly as they put them on.
Right. Those are great points, Joe. I really appreciate you calling in with that. And do please.
Thanks, Travis. Remember,
the good always wins. Thanks for bringing that up and those points. And, I appreciate that. Let's go to Francis in North Carolina. And I want to just quickly add, I do find it ironic that when they blew up that Nord Stream pipeline, one of the biggest ecological disasters, you actually heard nothing from the whole, Enviro cultists. So that was kind of funny. Anyways, Francis, North Carolina, how you doing?
I think I'm here, young man.
Hey, how are you?
I'm here. Dealing with farm life, go figure, but that happened.
Oh, good for you.
Well, it comes with the territory. But
good for you.
I'll put it this way. You can, when you're doing your own farming and you're doing your own gardening, it tastes very different than what you get at the food store. That's a drop-dead clue. But anyway, aside from that, in light of your earlier comment about the crisscrossing of humans with machine and all that stuff, which really brings the mind of science fiction or whatever have you, back in the day, as it were. But nowadays, it's like, okay, this is almost commonplace, but go figure. There's a couple of things that came to mind. One, the aspect that I had seen in a animated film called Beyond the Reset. Not Great Reset, but Beyond the Reset. And it's an animated piece. And you literally have to go through the whole thing to actually appreciate what's going on with it. I don't want to give any much away about it, but it was fascinating to watch. So with
Beyond the Reset. Is that what it's called? Beyond the Reset?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a final culmination at the very end of how the everyday person is viewed by the so-called elite, cabal, Illuminati, Bilderberg, whatever name you want to give the so-called heads that think they're in control of everything, for that matter. And so the aspect of crisscrossing humans with machines is their idea of living immortally and so forth, which is like a bunch of garbage, because quite frankly, they can't. They're not going to be allowed to. They will be quarantined to start with. The only reason they think they can, hence the reason why they did back in the 90s, they had this whole thing about, oh, you should send in your blood so we can look at your ancestry and give you a whole layout of what your ancestral background was or wherever it was and so forth. And there were several different outlets for that. Well, you know, when people fell for that, thinking, oh, I'm going to find out what my background is genetically and so forth. When people fell for that, they gave the so-called biotech industry everything they wanted.
Yep.
Here's the reason why, and I've probably mentioned about this before, when they started messing with the human genome and unraveled it back in the late 90s, they opened up Pandora's box, and thus they could start messing around with the gene pool and crisscrossing as they wanted to, and you name it, it was absurd and, in a matter of speaking, blasphemous, because you're messing with the genetic code of life, as it were, the sacred geometry of life, as it were. And so, but when you count, when you're dealing with people that want to have control over other people's lives, you really think they care? No.
Nope.
If they are able to, well, here's the reason why you have the corona, so-called corona shot jab. They use that as a fearmonger to get people to accept the shot jab, which is experimental gene therapy, as everyone knows, if they haven't already, for that matter, thus messing with their gene pool. So it's no wonder people are either injured or dropping dead like flies. But
right.
I just find it fascinating to follow all this and observe what's going on and listening to terminology that people are using as a result, both in the public forum as well as on, well, not that I watch the boob tube that much as far as television is concerned, but generally even online when I have to be careful about where I go as well as use a search engine that's not going to do data mining on me for that matter about what I'm looking for, looking at, observing. Seeing which, I find it interesting that if you are not doing a deliberate search about an item and you just casually look about various things and you come across things that are prompted to you to look at or whatever, you may actually find what you're looking for without even really determinedly trying to find or research material. Because, quite frankly, when you deliberately try to look for something online, you're going to be presented with a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, you almost have to know where to look.
In a matter of speaking, you do, but you have to do it subtly. Because they're basically electronically contemplating your next move, hence along with the other electronic toys. But hence the reason why they're trying to be intuitive about what you are thinking or seeing. That's the one thing I find ironic is that they're going by your eye movements when you're looking at the computer, which I try to keep the camera part closed off or whatever, or covered, as well as on your toy, iPhone or whatever. It's really a nightmare, electronically speaking. Now, that's not to say I think technology can be helpful for the individual. Don't get me wrong. It has its place. It can be helpful. But when it starts becoming abusive, where they design it to where it be seductive, enticing, trendy, sexy, and all this to get the person to use it more often and not pay attention to everyone else around them that's living, then you got a problem. You know?
Right.
But as far as the crisscrossing and all that, well, I think people need to watch out for that, especially with the virtual reality garbage and the AI and merging themselves with that. So,
No, I agree. Thanks for calling in with us. I really agree with you on that and glad you're concerned following that.
Oh, I don't like to. I never thought I'd ever end up doing this in my younger years. I really didn't.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, in short, I told my other half that there will never be a computer in this household. And this was before the year 2000. Unfortunately, because of his work, it caused me to break down. I said, okay, you need to look up and see what you want in a computer system. And I said, okay, fine. So we ended up going to a computer shop. The company existed back in the late 90s. I said, okay, this is what he wants in it. And so we ended up getting one. He said, I can't believe you're doing this. I said, neither do I, so shut up about it. And so, luckily, we ended up getting a computer system, although I was still leery about it, which helped him with his work at home. But that was when things were topsy-turvy economically because of the banking crash, people losing their work, and everything else. It was a nightmare. Actually, that was during a time of the banking crash when the banks were too big to fail and all that garbage. and so forth.
Hey, Francis, and, I gotta take a break or get to these last two
my
callers.
My bad.
No, you're good.
Well, anyway,
thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
Have a great week, and I'll have a green olive with my margarita, dear. Later.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. Are we taking another caller? Going to break. We got, I think, Andy and Mike up next. Real quick, guys.
Oh, hey. Okay, so I'll be real quick, my friend. Thanks for taking my call. You know, thinking about this, okay, so the Jewish people have been kicked out of at least 109 countries for their dastardly deeds in other countries and stuff. And then they finally got a hold of our country, and that's how we got this Federal Reserve, da-da-da-da-da-da. So now we're going... Right. Jew. These guys are all our problems. Not really, because think of how many Goyim are actually working for these Jews. They're actually assimilating their own death. They're assimilating our death. There's a whole bunch of people who have no idea that these people are in charge and they have a master plan. I'll let you go with that.
Right. That's a great point. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll get to Mike real quick. Thank you. That was a great point to end up on. I like that.
Well, he stole a little bit of my thunder. Thanks a lot there, Andy. But yeah, if we believe in the Testament, there's a couple things that people gloss over or don't even want to talk about. Like Stephen, when he told the Sanhedrin that they were going to be banished beyond Babylon, which he got the reaction kind of like Yeshua did. And yeah, there's no W or J in Hebrew. You can go to Psalms 119 and confirm that. But so healing Zeus or Jesus is where that name came from, Jesus. So it'd actually be more like a form of Joshua, Yeshua. Don't forget the Ah, because those Jewish Talmudic types like to insult him by leaving off the Ah, which means his name be blotted out, Yesh or Yeshu. So we got to be careful on that front. But
right. They
were told they were going to be banished where? Beyond Babylon. And I think in the context, to those people meant beyond return. They weren't coming back this time. So the people that did come back are imposters. They don't really, how can they prove their genealogy at this point anyway? You know, and the genealogy for Yeshua, as it's listed, was meant to show that he was eligible to be both a priest and a king, but he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek had no father or no mother in his priesthood. Nobody laid hands on Melchizedek and gave him that priesthood. Nobody laid hands on Yeshua and gave him that priesthood. It came down on him and rested on him, as John the Baptist said, like a dove. He didn't get that priesthood from any human path. So the other thing is he loosed the animals at the temple, right? Nobody wants to talk about that. Why did he loose the animals?
Right.
Anyway.
Well, we got to call in another time,
yeah.
Dude. Sorry we ran
all right,
short.
That's
Thank
fine.
You so much. All right, Mike. That's good points. Thank you. All right, guys. I guess that's it. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week. Appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your week and enjoy the weekend coming up. Happy 4th of July.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.